You know, that's not a Christmas song per se, but the message couldn't be any more Christmas, couldn't it? I love the chorus in that song. Even on the coldest night, there is still warmth in sight. I can see the light breaking through. It's such a beautiful song. It's such a hopeful song. At the same time, it's also a very authentic and real song. I suspect every single one of us, even the younger ones in the crowd, have felt a little bit of a cold night before. And maybe physically it was a cold night, but relationally, we've been through some cold nights. Spiritually, we've been through cold nights. Emotionally, we've been through cold nights. We've been through sickness. We've been through tragedy. Those cold nights might last a night. Sometimes they last a few nights. Sometimes they last a week or longer, a season, maybe even a year or a few years. And it can feel pretty cold, and it can feel pretty dark. But have you ever sat in the dark before? Maybe you went camping and it was really dark, or maybe you were at home and the power went out. You ever been there when the power goes out and you run around and you turn all the lights on as if they're gonna work, right? And then at 3 a.m. the whole house lights up when the power comes back on. But you know, when the power is out and it's so dark, it's hard to see anything. But maybe you found a candle and you lit it, or maybe since you don't live in 1890, you just turned your phone on and just that little bit of light, just the flashlight on your phone, immediately changed everything in the darkness, didn't it? Just a little bit of light changed everything in the dark, because light always wins in the dark. Light always penetrates the dark. Light always overcomes the dark. Light always breaks through. It always breaks through. That's one of my favorite parts about Christmas. I love everything about Christmas, but the decorations around Christmas, especially all the lights, it's so beautiful to see. I think that's kind of partially why we decorate for Christmas, is to change the emotion of the world around us. I mean, Christmas is a unique holiday when it comes to decorating. I know some of you decorate for other holidays. I mean, I've been known to decorate for Halloween, for instance, a few times before, but I mean, Christmas is a completely different kind of decoration. Like none of you probably, I don't think, haul in truckloads of sand and put floats in your front yard for June, you know? Like none of you probably have a storage unit for your St. Patrick's Day decorations. But Christmas is different. We put a lot of effort into it, a lot of energy, a lot of money into it. I don't know what your favorite decoration is. My favorite Christmas decoration is the Christmas tree. When I was a kid growing up, we had an artificial Christmas tree. It lived in the attic, and apparently a giant human lived up there and sat and slept on it all year, because when we would bring it down, it would take about 14 hours to re-fluff it back out so it looked like a tree. I was in charge of the fluffing, and I would spend hours and hours fluffing the tree, but I didn't care. I didn't mind, because we were going to decorate it, and it was going to be so beautiful at the end of the day. Now that I'm an adult, we don't do that. My wife likes live Christmas trees, and I do too. I love our Christmas tree. Every year, I love it when it's set up. I don't love all the process of the tree. I don't love the picking it out. I don't love the transporting it home. I don't really love the cutting off the bottom where the sap is collected. I don't like the sap getting all over me. I don't like the putting it in the tree stand and the making it straight in the tree stand, and it's never straight, and redoing it, and watering it. I don't love any of that, but when it's all done, I love turning the lights on and sitting in the living room with all the lights in the house out but that tree. It's just so peaceful. It's so beautiful to sit there. And even though there is no other light on in the entire place, just that Christmas tree alone, it lights up the house. But not even just physically. There's something else that's happening in that. It feels like it changes everything in the house. Well, why do we do all that? Like, why do we put so much effort into decorating? Because, you know, the world doesn't really get brighter around us just because it's December, does it? Like, the world around us continues to bring difficulty. The world around us continues to be kind of dark. But there's something in those decorations that changes it. It's almost as if we decorate at Christmas and light up our homes at Christmas to counteract the lack of light that's always around us. It's almost like the Christmas decorations kind of introduce beauty into all of the brokenness into our brokenness, into your brokenness, the brokenness of the world. You know, that's a really great picture of the very first Christmas 2,000 years ago. You've probably all heard the Christmas story, not the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. I mean, that's a good one, but the one that Luke wrote. It's the most famous Christmas story in the Bible. Let me just read you a portion of it. This is in Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census would be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went on to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and she placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. You know, Luke does it so poetically. He writes it so beautifully. And while that's probably exactly what happened, that first Christmas story was anything but peaceful. It was anything but bright. In that very moment, God, the God of the Jewish nation, the Israelite nation, God's chosen people, God hadn't been heard from for 400 years. It's been very quiet for 400 years. They've been waiting for prophecy, waiting for God to show up. And just because God was quiet doesn't mean God was absent. He was very much active and working behind the scenes, but they didn't know that. All they saw and heard was quiet, was dark. And then Joseph, he's Jewish. It was Mary. And there's an interesting pregnancy that's happening. A lot of people are ostracizing them. And then they've got to travel while she's basically 9 months pregnant, a long way for this census that just happens to be called when she's about to give birth. Now, I've never been pregnant. That's not shocking to any of you, but I've watched four of those in my house. We have four kids. And I will tell you, traveling by donkey at any point probably isn't that great. Traveling while 9 months pregnant, I can't imagine that's a great experience. And then to top it all off, they show up where they're supposed to be, and the husband, Joseph, he hadn't thought ahead. Like, he didn't call and make reservations. So they show up and there's nowhere to stay. So now she's pregnant. Can you imagine that conversation, you know? And they have to find a place to sleep. And they were able to find a cave, a dark, dank cave with animals. And it was smelly and it was dirty. It was anything from a hospital and sanitary. And she gives birth to Jesus in the middle of a dark cave, in a very dark moment, in a very dark time for God's chosen people. No lights, no Christmas trees, no inflatable Rudolphs in the front yard, none of that stuff. It wasn't anything like we experience now. Just difficulty, exhaustion, confusion, waiting, and lots of darkness. Lots of darkness. But even on that cold and dark night, there was warmth in sight because God had sent the light of the world. And it was beginning to break through. The disciple John spent 3 years hanging out with Jesus. And towards the end of his life, he decided to write about the life and times of Jesus too. And when he wrote about the Christmas story, he wrote it a little bit differently. See, John wasn't nearly as concerned with where Jesus was born. He wasn't concerned with how Jesus was born. John was concerned about why Jesus was born. When John wrote about it, he wrote it this way. This is in John 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because that's what light does. That's exactly what light does. It always wins. It always overcomes. And Jesus was the light of the world, sent for you and sent for me. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is the story of light entering darkness, but not just 2,000 years ago. Christmas is the story of light entering darkness right now, right here, right where you are, in the middle of this dark world, in the middle of your dark world. That's the power of light. The power of light is the point of Christmas. The power of light is the point of Christmas. And Jesus is a beautiful light for our broken lives. That's what that song's about. That's what Christmas is about.
Even on the coldest night, there is still a warmth inside. I can see the light breaking through. I can see the light breaking through. Even in the shadow times, you don't ever run and hide. I can see the light breaking through.
When I think about those dark times and I think about how light always breaks through, what a beautiful picture of what Christmas is. And that's actually the best news that any of us will ever hear, is that you don't have to live in the darkness any longer, because Jesus sent the light of life, not just to be here, but to indwell your life, to light the path for you, to bring light and hope into your heart. Kind of towards the end of John's life, as he was writing that version of the Christmas story, he was reflecting on everything that he had seen and experienced personally with Jesus. And my guess is that the reason he wrote the Christmas story the way he did is because he remembered a moment when he was with Jesus. And he remembered a moment where Jesus was gathered with several people. And as Jesus turned to them, he says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I don't know if things felt dark for you right now. I don't know if they felt dark for you this week, this month, maybe this entire year. Things have felt dark for you. What I do know is that there is hope, and that hope began 2,000 years ago in the form of a baby, the light of life, Jesus himself. You know, I mentioned that my favorite Christmas decoration is the Christmas tree, and that's true. When I was a kid, I used to love the Christmas tree because I knew that on Christmas morning, I was gonna get to show up and Santa will have left presents there, and it was gonna be so much fun. The Christmas tree represented hope, but it was hope of G.I. Joes and skateboards, you know. But now as an adult, I sit there and look at that tree, and it still feels very hopeful, but not for toys and games. It feels hopeful because of the light on it. The light reminds me of Jesus. And even though the lights on that tree are very, very small, it doesn't take much for it to penetrate the darkness, because light always overcomes the darkness. And that's true for you, and that's true for me. It's true for every single one of us in the world. Those lights are beautiful, but they are just beautiful reminders that the darkness around you doesn't have to stay, and that the darkness in you doesn't have to stay. That Jesus sent his son 2,000 years ago. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, because the light of life has entered your life. Every year we end our Christmas service by lighting candles. And the reason we do that isn't just out of tradition. We do it because that candle represents something. It represents the light of life. It represents Jesus. For some of you, you're gonna get to light a candle. We're gonna sing a song together. And it's just gonna be a reminder of the faith that you've been living with for a long time, and the faith that really is sustaining you during dark times. For some of you, though, the light might represent an opportunity. It might represent an opportunity to put your faith in something other than yourself or other than the brokenness around you, to put your faith, your belief into Jesus, the light of life. At this time, I'd love to invite our guest services volunteers to come forward, and we're gonna light those candles together, and we're gonna sing a song together. But as we sing, I'd love for you to just think about what that light might mean to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your son. Thank you for allowing the light of life to be present in this world and in this brokenness and in this darkness and in our life and our brokenness and our darkness. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for not allowing our relationship with you to be predicated on our behavior, but just on our belief and our faith in all that you have done. God, this Christmas, we thank you for that. And this Christmas, we want to remember that. Even though it's busy, it's the weirdest Christmas probably we've ever spent. I pray that even in all of that mess, that God, maybe we'll be able to take some time and reflect on you. Maybe every single time we just see a light, it'll remind us that your son is the light of life, who came to light up the brokenness of this world. God, we love you. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.